Hello, Silver Sirens. Welcome to this month's book club, Internal Uprising, with the beautiful author, Wendy Alexander. I just want to hand over to Wendy.
Hello there. So Faith has invited me to have a little chat about the book I wrote and was published this year, early this year. But it probably took about, I'd say, 3 or 4 years to write. And what I will say is that I had no intention of writing the book. I started my menopause journey or perimenopause journey at age 45. And quite frankly, it was a bit of a shock to the system. So I felt like menopause came along, perimenopause came along and upended my life. And that was a strange thing for me because I've been through many, many challenges. I grew up in South Africa during the era of apartheid. So as a woman of color, you know, I've lived through all of that segregation issues. And when I migrated to Australia, probably I was in Australia about a year or maybe a year and a half when I landed my first role, and I was in a bank robbery with a gun to my head. And then I had a very tempestuous relationship, which ended when I was 4 months pregnant. So I wasn't new to challenges. But for some reason, I think I forgot. I knew I was going to enter that perimenopause phase at some point. I wasn't expecting it to be at age 45. In my head, it was supposed to happen in my 50s. And so I think the fact that I was so unprepared for the journey, it threw me on a sea of storms, really. And I'm someone who's always journaled through life. So I've been journaling and writing through life since I was very young, age 6. I used to write through that whole difficult time of living in apartheid South Africa. So writing wasn't new to me, but it was so strange when I was going through menopause. The first year, the first 12 months, I forgot about the journaling. And I was just going through all the symptoms of brain fog and severe insomnia, anxiety, depression, severe hot flashes. And for me, the hot flashes were really difficult because I was in corporate at the time in a reasonably high-level position. And often I would be sitting in meetings and then the hot flash would hit. And it wouldn't just be, you know, the sweats and all of that. I would get severe nausea. So I often had to dash out of the meeting. And one of the things I noticed was there was no support in the workplace for women going through this. I was a female sitting in a lot of executive meetings. I was the only female. So there was a sense of embarrassment. When the hot flash would hit, I'd end up in sweats. The blouse would be soaked, dash off to the loo because I'd be so nauseous. But I couldn't talk to anyone about it. And so I really, I suppose, suffered in silence for about 12 months to 18 months. And then one day, so this is what led to the writing of the book. A colleague walked into my office one day, a male colleague, and he needed my signature on some kind of report. And I don't know why I said it, but the words came out of my mouth and the words were, "These hot flashes are murdering me. I hate this menopause bullshit." And then I looked up and I was like, oh my God, this is a young colleague. He was probably in his 30s. And I was like, I can't believe I just said that. And he ended up just like staring at me for a minute. And then he said, oh, I just lost a woman who was like a mother to me. My best friend's mother died of suicide. And I was just like, whoa. Anyway, closed the door. We started having this conversation and this guy told me and I could see the grief in him. And he said, we didn't understand. We didn't know what was going on with her. She was this really quiet, gentle soul. And then menopause hit her and she became like this erratic hellcat. She would fall apart. She would cry. She didn't know what to do. She ended up committing suicide. And, you know, he was devastated. I could see as he was conveying the story. And what I realized was he was literally speaking my story, because at that stage of perimenopause, I was starting to feel very much like that. Alone, isolated, didn't know myself anymore, thought there was an alien living in my body. And the very first chapter of my book, besides the prologue, is listening to the alien. And I write about that whole experience of how I felt, what him sharing that story made me feel. And part of it was incredible grief for him. The other part of it was anger, because I was like, why aren't women talking about this? And how does it get to a point where someone feels so isolated, so not themselves anymore, that they end up committing suicide? And that was the prompt for me. I started to journal and I started to write everything that I was feeling. And at that point, it was still only a journal. But as I was seeking answers and looking for help, I did end up on a health retreat with a Chinese medicine practitioner. And he was talking to me about some of the female clients he had come across who were my age, some of them older, because at that stage I was probably 46, 47. I'd gone through 18 months of suffering in silence before I sought the help that I felt I needed. And he was saying, you know, there's a lot of women, there's a lot of corporate women that just seem to be falling apart at the seams, and they're kind of at this stage, and I don't understand what's going on with them, and they foggy brain and they're falling apart, they're having car accidents, they're telling me all these things when they come to see me. And while we were on this retreat, one day around dinner, he said, someone should write about this. And then he looked at me and he said, you should write about this. And he actually gave me the title for the book, not the title that it ended up being. He called it Heating Up. He said, you guys are heating up, but not just in your bodies, but in your spirit. You're starting to look at life a different way. And we started discussing it. And I said, I've been journaling about it now. At that stage, it was probably a year. I said, I've got a lot of material. And he said, Wendy, write the book. So I did start that journey of transforming the journal into a book. But I have to say, there was a part of me that was very scared to reveal what I was going through. Because I was known as what I called a steel magnolia, you know. My favorite goddess is the goddess Isis, a woman of strength, Cleopatra as well. And so for me, I kind of idolized these female figures and I wanted to emulate them. But yeah, it was perimenopause and it was kicking my ass. And I was like, I'm falling apart at the seams. Everything feels like it's messy. I didn't really know myself anymore. And part of me wanted to keep that hidden. I didn't want the world to know. I certainly didn't want corporate, my workplace, to know that I was falling apart. I struggled even within my home. So I would have these flare-ups in the home. My partner and my daughter bore the brunt of my flare-ups, where I'd be overly emotional. And then I would just, you know, dissolve into a heap of tears because I couldn't quite explain what was going on. All I knew was that I felt unwell all of the time. I wasn't sleeping. Anyone who's a mom, especially a new mom, you know what sleep deprivation does to you. You know, it messes with your head. So I felt like I was going through the new mom phase again, only this time I was in my late 40s. And I'm like, what is happening to me? Felt quite ashamed about falling apart. The steel magnolia, this woman that everybody knew who was so strong, who was so competent in her career. So it was kind of like living a double life, really. And I could see how that can lead to those suicidal ideation, because I certainly started to go down that dark path myself. And I think that's why when the colleague shared the story, it was like he was opening up that wound. And that was what prompted me to start that journey of recording everything that I was feeling, what was happening to my body, what was going on in my thoughts, how dark they were. The denial, because I definitely was in denial about menopause for the first 2 years, I'd say. And then as I started to write, I started to notice a few patterns. One of the patterns was I wasn't really happy in corporate anymore. Corporate comes with a lot of stress, especially when you're in a high-powered role. You know, I was leading in corporate, huge transformation programs, sometimes managing projects and programs up to $100, $200 million. So they were huge, lot of pressure on me, but I'm not sleeping. And I started to recognize that I didn't feel like I really wanted to continue in that space anymore. But I had to figure out, what did I really want to do? Now, I did have a side business, which I had started when my relationship ended with my daughter's father. I had gotten myself into a bit of a bother with financial debt after our relationship ended and so on. And I needed to make more money. So I went down the road of trying to figure out how to do that. And, you know, to cut a long story short, created a system in career coaching and how to grow in the career that I used on myself, got my success. People started coming to me and I started helping them. And so that was a side business. I did that very part-time while I was working full-time in corporate and raising my daughter as a single mom. And so I had noticed that I was the only time during those early years of perimenopause that I felt happy was when I was writing for other people, when I was shaping up their career stories, helping them get successful in their career. Corporate no longer interested me. The technology stuff I was delivering was boring to me. The only part of it I loved was the people side of it, you know, leading and managing people. And so I realized something had to change. Now, it didn't happen immediately, but I did start to look at life and through that whole journaling and writing record where I felt I was failing myself, suppressing my voice to do a career that people thought I should do and should continue with because I was earning so much money. You know, all the responsibilities that come, you know, you've got bills to pay, you've got the mortgage to pay, you've got, you know, a kid to put through high school at that stage. But I continued to question, continued to write. And the book eventually turned into a book on the advice of Robert, who was the Chinese medicine doctor. So it took me a couple of years to actually work my way through that. And I write in the first half of the book about the struggles I had with menopause. And then probably the second half of the book is about where I started to find my own voice again. And one of the things I realized was that I had been an activist growing up in South Africa for change, political change. I'd been an activist in corporate when there was bullying going on. I was always the person standing up. I appeared in front of human resources many times trying to defend people who had been bullied and stand up for them. And I realized that I was not advocating for myself. And that included when I first went to the doctor, the GP, to try and figure out what was going on with me. He gave me about 15 minutes of his time. The way I was treated was like, well, you're a woman. You should know what's going on with you. I didn't talk to him about the anxiety and depression side of things. I only spoke to him about the physical symptoms, and he suggested HRT, which I wasn't too keen to go on at the time. And I didn't get a chance. He literally shooed me out of his medicine practical center, you know, saying, you know, you should know what to do with this. And I'm like, but I don't. I don't know what to do with the anxiety. I don't know what to do with the insomnia. I don't know what to do with the feelings of inadequacy, doubting myself, all of these things. And that was really when I then went on that whole journey of trying to find help. So I found Rob, but I also found a holistic doctor, Dr. Mario. And he, and I write about him in the book as well, he took me on a journey. And the journey he took me on was, the first thing he taught me was how to breathe, which I absolutely hated and fought him on. Because I'm like, man, you're supposed to be helping me with symptoms. What are you doing telling me to breathe? And he was teaching me Kundalini breathing, and none of it made sense to me. And I was resisting him. And then he took me on the journey of reshaping my eating habits. And then the last journey he took me on was the psychological journey of trying to figure out who I was as a woman and where I had stopped listening to my own inner voice. And that was the turnaround for me. And so the second half of the book is all about you know, I have chapters called Becoming a Leading Lady, and I write about leading ladies and how they have gumption and how they fight for themselves. I write about screaming through the fire. So there's that. That's another chapter in the book, which is all about learning to embrace that whole journey and transcend it by visualization. So I learned through research. I did a lot of research. Mind you, I will say I spoke to a lot of women, but I also went and read everything I could find on perimenopause, menopause, female voices, female archetypes, all of that. And it's all covered in the book. And then returned to the source of who I really am, which is my love of words. And I realized that I was afraid to let my own words flow out, but I had to find the courage. And that's where the book came from. Now, when I sent it to an editor the very first time it was edited, the woman who edited the book was incredible because she read it and she said to me, you know, this can go out as it is because you are a good writer and you love words. I can tell that. She said, but something's missing. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, there's a depth that's missing. There's something that you reserved about. And I said, well, I said, I've written this journal. And she said, would you mind sending me just 2 or 3 extracts of your journal, if you don't mind sharing that with me? And I said, okay. I was terrified because I'm like, okay, now people are really going to get into my crazy mind. And, you know, I was afraid of the judgment, to be forthright, afraid of the judgment. But I did send her a couple of extracts. And she said to me, that's what's missing. You have to share your thoughts, everything that you were going through. So you, I'm not telling you to share the whole journal, but you need to pull out pertinent extracts of your journal that supports the writing so people can understand the state of mind and how you went through the journey and overcame that journey. So the book does have, you know, this version of the book has the extracts of my journal. And I will say, I'm still terrified about people reading that state of mind. But I also realized that I'm not going to be able to help people. I'm not going to be able to make a difference if I don't step into the authenticity of my own struggles with menopause. And so the book is the good, bad, and ugly of menopause. The lessons I learned, the challenges I went through, and how I turned it around. And then also finding my, what I call it, my career 2.0. So I already had that side business, as I said earlier, and I ended up leaving corporate in 2018 and went full-time in my career coaching business with a real focus on helping midlife women. Because I found, as I started to talk to women, there were many women going through what I'd been through, and there were also many women questioning whether they could move into their dream career. And so, yeah, I want to give some women some hope, because one of the things that I'm noticing through the work I do is that they call it the silver tsunami is on the rise, meaning companies are valuing the mature woman, the older woman, but even mature men. So those of us with silver hair, we are on the rise. There is value in the work that we do, in the wisdom that we can share. And it's a new term coming on in the job space or the business opportunity space, but it's called the silver tsunami, and it is on the rise. And that means there's a place for us as well. So that's really the book in a nutshell, or the start of it. I'm open to anyone asking me any questions. I don't know if you have any questions for me, Faith, that you want to, you know, kick off the conversation with, because I'm interested in hearing other people's stories too.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much for that. There's so many things. I mean, I really love the book, and I really thank you for sending me the book. Some of the things I really loved was I loved that editor had the insight and the wisdom to spot what was missing and bring your actual voice in, and, you know, to give us that context of your state of mind. I thought that was super wise, and it did make a difference. You know, and the other thing that I really loved too was the fact that you, at every chapter, you had your insights. You know, I thought that was really, really useful too. And those insights were some of my favorite bits. So I really love that. And I'll say one more thing before I invite the other women in to ask, share their stories, is your experience, how your menopause experience impacted your relationship with your daughter and your husband, for me, was really, really insightful and really useful, because that's the stuff that most women don't share. You know, the people that they live with, because they can see that. And I love the ferolometer. Was it feral? I've got it.
Ferolometer.
Today. Yeah, how feral is mum meter? And that inspired our second newsletter month, for this month, focused on menopause, our newsletters. And the second newsletter focused on how menopause impacts our relationship. And that was inspired 100% by reading this book. So I really want to thank you for that. A lot of insight. I loved how, even though it was a difficult time for the family, there was some humor that was injected into how we managed, you know, with the how feral is mom to us. I love that. So thank you so much for that. It's wonderful. So
yeah, please, Faith.
Yeah, you go. You
know, just on the ferolometer, it was a standard joke, and people used to come around to the house, and we had it displayed after a while. But you know, when my daughter and my partner first made the ferolometer, I was upset because I was like, oh my God, is this how they see me? You know, I'm operating in with this crazy mood swings, and it's impacting on them, and they're nervous to be around me, and they watching my every move, and they stepping on eggshells. And that was quite an experience to go through when you have that realization. But after a while, it became a very humorous thing. And, you know, we did manage some of my mood changes with putting the little dial on red or on yellow or on green.
So. I mean, the favorite dial, was it clear and present danger?
Yes.
Get away. Yeah.
Get away, you know, get out of my personal space.
Yeah. That was great to just have that humor injected in there. So thank you for that. So I'm going to go to Ingrid. Hey, Ingrid, did you want to unmute?
I didn't have a question.
Maybe just a feedback maybe you want to share some of your experiences around that you might relate to with what Wendy shared.
Actually, coming back, focusing on Wendy for the time being. Thanks, Wendy, for your presentation. I haven't read your book yet, but I certainly plan to do that soon. So you talked about your experience of perimenopause and menopause and the physical and psychosocial impacts. And then you also talked about the change in your career journey. From the reading that you've done around those topics, were the two things necessarily interrelated, or did it just so happen that they coincided? Do you think that you might have had a sort of latent dissatisfaction with your career before that happened that really came out into the open once you were doing all that self-examination? Or do you think that something about the whole experience of menopause actually gave rise to that dissatisfaction? Am I making sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think it was a combination of both. So I had been working in a high-pressured corporate career for a number of years, and I had raised a daughter by myself. So as a single mom working in this high-pressure environment, and when menopause came along, at that stage, I was in a relationship with my new partner. When that came along, there was incredible stress. I was always able to manage stress, even though I was in this high-pressured role for all these years. I was able to manage the stress reasonably well. But when I started going through the insomnia and all the other physical symptoms of menopause, that stress was just exacerbated. One of the things I was also noticing, I think I was dissatisfied with a few things. One was dissatisfied with technology as a whole. Now, I love technology. I use it certainly for my business. It's useful. But I couldn't see anything really meaningful in it. What I loved was leading the people. So helping people grow and things like that. That's the side of the job that I loved. The other thing was that physical symptoms, if you're not sleeping, it's just going to make stress worse. So I was noticing that my patience was wearing thin. And I also noticed the lack of support for midlife women, for women going through what I was going through. There was nobody you could talk to it about. And then at the time, right at when I was in the throes of probably the worst part of menopause, one of my favorite uncle got very sick and he passed away. And I was working on a very intense project. And when I was at the funeral, the boss was messaging me the whole time because it was also crisis time on the project. And I had let her know that I was going to be attending the funeral. I wasn't going to be available. But when I returned to work on the Monday, she approached me with this very kind of passive aggressive energy. And it was like, I tried to get hold of you. Why didn't I? I said, look, I told you there was a funeral. My uncle has passed. And she said to me, well, I'm available for the project 24/7. And I don't know if it was menopause, fire, everything else happening, but something in me just busted loose and exploded. And I didn't scream at her or anything like that. I'm always very professional, but I looked at her. And in that moment, something snapped in my brain. And I said, well, I'm not. And I handed in my 2 weeks resignation and left. And that was it. Now, I had set up various things, you know, saving money to start my own business, all of these things. But that was a catalyst for me. The lack of support, the fact that I had been going through, she knew. She was also not that far off my age. So she also knew what that whole journey was like, but you couldn't really speak about it. And then the death of my uncle, that was another pain point for me. And then her reaction to that. And something, but it was also that moment where I really started to step into the voice because I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I started to figure out, I actually took myself through a process that I take a lot of my clients through now. And that is where I created it. I was like, what do you really want to do? And I started to look at my story, look at my life. What am I good at? What has always brought me joy? And I started to channel and I saw that I already had a business that I could turn into something, my career 2.0, my second act, so to speak. So I think it was a combination of the two. It was like a perfect storm, you know, mm-hmm. the timing of my perimenopausal journey with the rising dissatisfaction and the stress, the high pressure stress of corporate.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Did anyone else want to add? Let's just, yes, anyone? What about you, Anita? Did you want to add anything? Could just be a comment to what was being shared so far, or maybe sharing your experience. How about Erica? If not, I'm going to come to you. Oh, no, I know that you're quite puffy, Jodie. I don't know if you got enough to ask yours. If not, I'll go back to my question, but I just want to make sure everyone gets a go. Okay. Anyone else want to kind of jump in? I know, Louise, you just jumped in, and so I want to just leave you, and I'll come back to you in a minute, okay? So I'm happy to share my bit. So one of the bits that really got to me was that scene, I think page 20, it was a chapter on the page 20, my body is screaming at me to listen. You know, that scene where you realize that you hadn't checked your blood for a while, and you're in the shower, you know, you nearly faint in the shower. And it was just that classic point where the breakdown facilitates the breakthrough. And I just wanted to share what that was like for you, because I felt really moved by that point. I could feel the level of when everything has to kind of almost crash and dissolve for it to start to reform. It felt like you were at that pivotal point there. Can you share that experience with us?
Absolutely, yeah. So I was diagnosed with diabetes at age 40. I've been monitoring it and managing it very well for a number of years. And then, of course, so this was another impact of perimenopause. So I managed mine with diet and exercise. And then, you know, as I wasn't sleeping, insomnia happening, hot flashes, all of it is colliding and impacting the one on the other. And it's interesting how we try to trick ourselves. So I actually stopped measuring my blood sugars because intuitively I knew that they weren't good. The amount of stress I was going through, the lack of sleep I was undergoing, I thought, no, the blood sugars aren't going to be. So I stopped measuring it. And then one day I, you know, got into the shower. I didn't feel very well. And so I took out the monitor and actually measured it. And it was 19. Now that is crazy high. right? That is a few points away from a diabetic coma collapsing. And I did sort of collapse in the bathroom, but not so much from that physical state that my body was in. It was the shock, the shock and the disappointment in myself for neglecting my health the way I had. But it was the breakdown moment and also the breakthrough moment, because that was another pivotal moment where I realized I have to take control of what's going on here. And it was also when, so after that, I mean, look, I spent a good portion of that morning crying in the shower, very bitterly disappointed with myself, because I'd always managed my health very well. I've never really neglected my health. But I knew that I was. And there was that self-retribution, self-flagellation going on, being very, very upset. But it was also the breakthrough, because that was probably, if not that day, a couple of days after that, I started my intense research to find the doctor that could help me. Mm. And it's where I found Dr. Mario, right? I was searching for a product on Glow Health website, which was my favorite health store in Melbourne, and up came this doctor's name, and he spoke about psychosomatic healing, you know, mind body healing, all of this. And I was like, wow, this doctor looks amazing. And I looked at a couple of the reviews and then ended up booking myself an appointment and started that journey with Dr. Mario. So that probably would not have happened if I hadn't had that physical breakdown and emotional breakdown in the shower when I took the, you know, after I took my blood sugars and saw how high it was. So there was a lot of things going on around menopause where, and I don't think I'm the only one. I think women, we deny certain things. We neglect ourselves a lot. Everyone's on the priority list. I mean, I think if you start reading the book, you'll find that's the common thread throughout. I speak a lot about everybody being on my priority list except me, which when I look back, doesn't surprise me now that I had the challenges I had with menopause, right? I definitely was not on my own priority list. So that has changed significantly since going through this experience. You know, I am number one on my list now, but that wasn't so before I went through that journey.
And that turning point, you know, I really like that turning point to bringing you that place, you know, everything. And then, you know, you wrote about it too. The thing that really jumped out, and you said it, was how shocked you were that you allowed yourself to get bad. You know, it was the shock that was really what caused the collapse.
Well, I mean, it is about a lot of the time, I think women, we have a tendency to keep pushing through. That's kind of the way I think women are wired. We push through. We're the nurturers of our children. We're the nurturers of our community. We're the nurturers of our household. But we're not often the nurturers of ourselves.
And that's key. And like you said, that's the thing that I took away from this as well, was that constant message. You know, why do we relegate our needs to the very bottom? Why are we so to do that? Just wanted to read Anita's comment. So Anita, so thank you for listening to your voice and having the bravery to bring it to the world is a precious gift to the conversation that we must have. Thank you. So often we are told to push things down and to get on with it, to guide others to do the same. Brilliant. We need this. And we need you. Beautiful. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, look, I like I said before, I suppose, I didn't feel brave initially. In the end, when I think about it, the book, the journal was a necessity, because I've always processed my emotions, my challenges through writing. So starting to do the journal around menopause was probably a necessity. It is probably what helped my survival, particularly with the suicidal ideation. Like, look, I was ashamed to admit that, but I'm not ashamed to admit it now. it was hard and I definitely went through that. So I'm not going to like downplay that journey because there are many women who have lost that battle. And I write about it, the cases that I found of women who have lost that battle because they didn't talk to anybody. They didn't find a way out. They felt so isolated. They didn't know themselves. So I'm not ashamed to admit now, but at the time I was. Like I definitely wasn't talking about that. But I did journal, and journaling has always been, writing and words has always been the way I process everything. I mean, if you look at some of the poetry I wrote through my time in South Africa, it's dark and gloomy, but that was a dark time, right? So words have helped me process. But now I am proud that I did have the courage to keep going with it, because I did feel like giving up on the book many times. It's a very raw and personal journey, right? But I also know that it was necessary for me to actually complete it, and more importantly, to get it out, because it did sit on the shelf after I finished it. The first edits and the first writing of it sat on the shelf for about 6 months to a year. It was only when I took it to that editor who pushed me a little bit further, the one who said something's missing. And when I sent her the journal and she said, this is what's missing. And then I thought, well, you can't really tell the story without really telling the story. So.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned that ideation. You know, it's something that it's such a taboo. And, you know, we think that if we say it out loud, it will mean that we're weaker than we are. You know, it's clear through your work and your book that you're a very strong woman. And I think it's important for women to know that, yes, you can be that strong woman, and you can actually, the symptoms can bring you to your knees, that you actually do think suicide is an option, you know. And that really stood out to me, because, you know, I started Silver Sirens because women into private practice, depression around aging. And I think about the very first woman, her story was around the suicide ideation around the beginning of menopause and the shame she felt around it. And the fact that she couldn't say to anyone, that was one of the reasons why she booked a session, was just to have someone she could say it to. So it's really brave for you to include that. I'm glad that you did.
Yeah, well, look, that's probably one of the key parts of the journey. Because as I said, if the colleague hadn't shared that story with me, maybe I would have continued to suppress. Yeah. Maybe, right? But when he was sharing and I was watching his face, and I thought, oh my God, this is not even his mother, but he's devastated because this woman was like a mother to him, was his best friend's mother and so much a part of his life. And I thought, wow, what an impact. But then when I was doing research, I found other women, you know, Mick Jagger's ex-girlfriend who committed suicide, you know, was around that same time. I was starting to notice that there were quite a few women who had gone through that, you know.
You mentioned Charlotte Dawson.
Charlotte Dawson as well. I mean, you know, people talk about her financial struggles, but I look at the age and I look at what was going on and the write-ups and the research I did, and I was like, that was around menopause as well. And I would bet any money that had played a part in that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to open it up again. Anyone else add their voice about you? Oh, you can see trying to unmute. Try another go.
That work?
Yeah, that's working. Go for it.
Look, sorry I was late. And to be totally honest, I came in late, and I'm also sort of playing a little bit of catch up. I got an email yesterday inviting me to join this. I haven't read the book. So to be honest, I'm flying a little bit blind, but I thought I'd just wanted to join and, I guess, get a sense for what it was all about. So I don't really have anything meaningful to add, other than I should say this is incredibly timely for me because I just got blood test results back, which show I am well and truly in menopause. So it's sort of a topic of newfound interest to me, which is odd because I'm 53, so I've probably been in menopause for a long time. But I guess a number of things are coming up. I've had mood issues, depression, and it was actually a counsellor who mentioned maybe I should go get tested for menopause. So
Yeah, when I saw this email and the topic, I thought, oh, I think it's a sign I should just join in and listen.
Yeah, just want to say thank you. And you're not behind, because most of us haven't read the book in here, so it's fine.
Okay.
Because it's all about facilitating discussion. Yeah, so thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Do you want to add anything, Wendy? And then I'll go to Anna.
No, I'll listen to the next comment or question.
Okay, Anna, I know that you came in late, Anna, but I just wanted you to jump in about your experience around menopause. Anything that you've talked about so far?
I was at a meeting, a 12-step meeting, and so sorry that I was late. But it was interesting to hear how it took you to have that crisis, the menopause crisis, you know, the diabetes crisis in the shower, and you go, okay, and you just started, you didn't have to placate the inner critic. You started with your journaling. I think that was a really interesting kind of like sidestep move. And it made me think about, why aren't I journaling? That's what it made me think about. Mm. Why aren't it like my experience, and coming to my experience now, but having watched like slowly pull into a train station, and you go, okay, because I don't have diabetes, but I'm diabetic resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, so I'm in that stage. And I noticed that when I take my eye off the ball, I take it completely off the ball. Like it's someone else's issue. So it seems like journaling was the first step for you to come back into like understanding yourself and not being like a inner critic about it all, just going, oh, okay, this is happening, you know, but and also giving yourself flowers when you were doing well. Yeah.
Mm.
So I'm very interested. I'm very inspired. Very interested. I'm very inspired.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So the thing I'll say about journaling, what I found, look, I've been journaling, as I said, since I was a kid. It helped me process a lot of things that I didn't understand, especially growing up in the environment that I did. But what was interesting about the menopausal journey is I actually didn't journal initially. So I went through the 12 to 18 months of suffering in silence, of hell. And then one day I just started to write about it. Well, it was probably soon after that that encounter with my colleague in you know, him telling me about the woman who had committed suicide. And I started to journal. And then I remember actually saying to myself, why am I only starting this now? This has always helped me process. But it was interesting how when you're trying to figure out something you don't know, like I didn't know what was going on with my body. You don't always go to the sources that have helped you in the past. You know, you're searching everywhere. I was searching everywhere. And then when I went to the journaling and I started, and I do what I call freestyle uncensored journaling. So it has to be, like you say, it's not the journaling where you're trying to censor and watch the inner critic and all of that. You just have to keep writing. So I would just say, you know, things like, you know, I'm hating this today, you know, I've just had another hot flash, I'm so sick of this, and I'd be cursing and carrying on in the journal and all of that. But what I noticed when I would read the journal a month later or 2 months later, there were patterns starting to come up. You know, I started to notice that I felt worse when I wasn't sleeping, I felt worse when I was trying to suppress, I felt worse when I was trying to be the good woman and not speak about it and not make other people uncomfortable about it. That just made it worse. And so that's what I noticed. Like, even with my partner and my daughter, you know, I was trying to protect them a lot of the time from how I was feeling. So I did, because there were times when I didn't want them around. The other thing that happens often in menopause is that you need to go into your own inner cave. That's what I found. I think I write about it somewhere in the book, about being all peopled out. You know, there was a menopause forum that I had joined, and women were writing on this forum. And one of this woman in the UK wrote, I like people, but I am all peopled out. And this is what I'm finding. And I remember writing about that in my journal. And I'm thinking, that's exactly how I feel. I'm all peopled out. And I'm a people person. I like hosting parties. I like doing this, that, and the other around people. But I was sick of them. I didn't want them anywhere near me. I didn't want to talk to my partner some days. Didn't want to have my daughter around me. I was like, just leave me alone. I need to process my own thoughts. And I felt like that more often than not. That was also a concern for me. It was like, why am I feeling this way? This is not who I am. So there's a lot of signs that will come and actually show you. And I found with journaling, I got insight into the patterns, where I was feeling vulnerable, where I was feeling weak, where I was feeling more irritated than usual, all of these types of things. So it certainly helped. And I actually think it helps most people. Uncensored freestyle journaling will give you insight into your own feelings, especially the ones that you're trying to hide from.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Time's gone so quickly, I can't believe it. I thought I had time for a couple of questions, so I'm just going to add one more thing. This has been great. So for me, you finding Dr. Mario felt like your own kind of Yoda experience. You know, you kind of found your guide, the wise one. It kind of made me feel like he took you on a little bit of an internal eat love journey. And I love yes. that he had the wisdom, the insight, and the humility to make it about you finding your voice, not telling you. And I really loved that. And I thought that was really, really poignant. Can you tell me about that journey, that how he facilitated and helped you to find your voice or get back on track of finding your voice again?
Yeah, so, I mean, as I said, with him, he started with the deep breathing first and he called it Kundalini breathing. So my homework from the very first session was to go and look up Kundalini breathing. I'm like, what is this? So this breathing, it starts like in the core of a woman. So you actually breathe through the vaginal part of you and you take the breath up, the Kundalini. So that was the first thing. He told me to go and look it up and then he practiced. He said, okay, now we're going to do the Kundalini breathing. And the first time I did it, the first few times I did it, you know, you don't succeed at it. You know, I just couldn't focus, couldn't concentrate. When he started the conversation around what I was not saying. So, you know, I believe he's trained in psychology. He was trained in Eastern medicine, Western medicine. He also trained with shamans around the world. So this was an incredibly special guy, right? He brought all his healing modalities to his work. And he said to me, so when we started to talk about how I was feeling, so, you know, I start answering in the good little woman way. Oh, you know, I can cope. And he goes, well, you're clearly not coping. He was very direct. You know, he said, and I'm going, why would you say that? And he goes, because I'm looking at your blood results. I'm looking at your blood sugars. I'm looking at your physical. He said, you're not coping. Otherwise, your body would be showing me signs that you're coping. He said, you're not sleeping, all of these type of things. And he said, part of it is physical, Wendy. He said, but the other part of it is emotional and mental, and we need to get to that. And it was through starting to have these conversations with them around that I realized there had been, so the menopause was only one part of suppression in my life. I had suppressed many other things. I'd been through incredible trauma in my life, growing up in South Africa, being held up in a bank robbery with a double barrel shotgun to my head. All of these things are trauma, but all I ever did in my life was maybe go to counseling for a little bit. And it was like a box I was ticking. I need to get over that. But that doesn't mean you fully process it. It's tick, I've handled that. Tick, I've handled that. But the thing is, if you don't fully process it and you don't allow yourself to go through the experience to find your way out of that experience, then all you're doing is putting the Band-Aid over it. And I really look back now and see that menopause was the moment, the colliding moments that ripped off all the Band-Aids that I'd been putting on my life as a woman. I mean, I haven't felt freer than I do now, you know, 57 years old now. And I do feel stronger and freer. And all of it happened from age. So it's been a 10-year journey, because I'd say the last 2 years has been where I felt the most empowered in my life, where I know I'm doing the work that I love. I do it on my terms. I only work certain hours. I have a day off every week. All of these things, I've created my life so that I'm taking care of my body and my health and my mind. I travel regularly because that's another passion. So I've set up life to support me. But that only happened through that menopausal journey. Like, I had to go through that. It was a hard journey. It was 10 years of, I'd say, 7 or 8 years of hell. And then the last 3, 4, I was starting to find my stride as a woman and coming into my own. And so I've only really been ready now to, that's why the book was only released this year and published and taken to the final editing and all of that, because even though it's been written for probably 2 years before that, I had to be ready to release it, you know, be strong enough to release it and not to worry about how it's going to be perceived. Because, you know, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people that's going to read this and go, you always occur so strong. And I suppose at the end of the book, there is a strength. People will see the journey as it's gone. But the whole start and the middle of the book is about the challenge, right? But the breakdown led to the breakthrough. And my thing now is, if I can help other women on the journey by sharing my story and also helping them with the work that I do, then, you know, that was worth it.
Love how the physical fire we feel in our body in menopause also has like a symbolic component, which is that fire that kind of frees us from the things that you said, the putting the band-aid on, the good girl syndrome or glamour ourselves syndrome. Most of us emerge as a feeling free, you know, at 59, I agree. And I hear that with women, that sense of we feel freer. We no longer have to carry the burdens of how we're meant to be and we can have our voice again. So even though it is a painful process, it's a baptism of fire in a sense, you know.
It is.
It's how we come out of the other end.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much. So that kind of brings us, dead on time. So any final words? Is there anyone that hasn't said anything that wants to add a quick word before we finish? Jodie, I know you're not well. Do you want to add a quick word?
I was going to do a shout out.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
I was just going to say I'm 60 and so 9 years in as well, but HRT has been an absolute life. And I don't think enough doctors are trained enough to use it. They're wary. And it can really make all the
difference. Thank you.
Thank you.
So any final words, Wendy, just to round it all up for us? We're really grateful that you were here, a really strong message. So any final words to you?
So final words is, you know, there's a lot of insights in the book, but the most important insight is that this is a sacred journey. This is what I found at the end of it, despite it being a very difficult journey. It's turned out to be one of the most sacred journeys I've been on. And that there is a place for us in the world. That silver tsunami is on the rise in so many areas of life, not just the career space, but in women's voices. And so, you know, I'm kind of like the, you know, the Helen Reddy song, you know, hear me roar. And I'd like, you know, many women to come roar with me.
We're coming. Thank you. So fantastic. So thank you all, beautiful women that are here live. And I thank you to all of those that are going to be watching this later. We're really grateful for Wendy and her time and her wisdom. So we want to thank you, Wendy.
It's a pleasure.